Welcome to Family Business Today, where we feature prominent local and national family business owners. We also talk to top family business experts to discuss relevant topics, including communications, business culture, family relationships, succession and estate planning, values, as well as conflict resolution. Brought to you by the Tennessee Center for Family Business, I'm your host, Greg Lewis. Our guests today are Bill and Jim Strandberg. Bill, a partner of Strandberg Resource Group, brings extensive cross-industry executive search experience, specializing in sales, marketing, general management, and operations. With a China stint of 7 years, he offers unique global insights and Mandarin fluency. Proficient in seamless multicultural recruitment and adept at relationship building, Bill holds a University of Wisconsin-Whitewater bachelor's degree and enjoys tennis and woodworking. Jim, founder of Strandberg Resource Group, brings 30-plus years executive search and consulting expertise across industries, specializing in manufacturing. He's placed executives from president to vice president in diverse functions. With client-centric strategies, transparent communications, and a rich background, including Talon Associates and Cooper and Labrand, Jim ensures impactful results. Well, good morning, Bill and Jim.
Good morning.
Hey, I'm so glad that you could join me this morning for this edition of Family Business Today. I've really been looking forward to our interview to learn more about your experience working with family businesses and advice that you can share with our listeners today.
We're glad to be here.
It's great to be here, Greg. Happy to share our story and hopefully learn something from you in the process as well.
Thank you, Bill. Appreciate that. So let's just jump right in. Let's get started. You're a family business that helps family businesses. Tell us more about what your family business, Strandberg Resource Group, does and how you got your start.
Sure. This business roots back to the beginning was 1989. And my wife and I were faced with making a decision about whether we wanted to stay in the corporate world or whether we wanted to do something on our own. Mm-hmm. Then I'll spring you back a few years before that. I had grown up working in a family business. So I spent 7 years as a young guy working side by side with a husband and wife team. And what really struck me and what always stuck with me from that experience was really four words: passion, commitment, belief, and integrity. And mm-hmm. everything I've done since then had paled in comparison to that family's business. So our beginning, what really drove us is I wanted to get back to a place where I put my whole self into the job, where I'd enjoy it. And I knew the business of executive search consulting. And I said, it's time for us to do this on our own. That was 1989. And then from then on, it's grown, it's taken different forms. And over the years, we've evolved to where almost all of our business now is focused on the family business sector, which really resonates for me extremely well.
Thank you, Jim. Yeah, I think all of us who grew up in family business, either working for one or being involved in one, like I was with my father for 17 years, we always say there's no business like family business. We know,
yep.
And no two of them are the same, but they do have common issues. And hopefully through working with a family business advisors like yourself or ourselves, they're able to enjoy that a successful transition and also like each other when it's all over with.
Absolutely.
Jim, is Bill the only family member involved in your business, or do you have a daughter or anything like that involved in the business as well?
Yeah, my daughter Kate is involved with the business. My wife, who was co-founder with me, we mm-hmm. like to call her the chairman of the board. She doesn't have an operating role, but I report to her. as is so true in most good marriages. So that's who is in our business from
that's
the
great.
Family side.
Yeah, that's great. Yeah. I know my wife and others that I've talked to is don't bring all your business issues to the Thanksgiving dinner table. We want to have an enjoyable
sure.
time together at Thanksgiving. Well, Jim, you're the founder of Strandberg Resource Group, and you have Bill and your daughter involved in the business. What was it about your plan for your children to join in your family business? Was that something that from the beginning, or how did that work? And Bill, how did you get involved?
Yeah, let me start. It's so from the beginning, we our business was we worked for a long time at home. So our kids were familiar with what we were doing the whole time. I don't think they understood it entirely, but they knew that we had our hearts put into this and that they had to, when they came into the house after school, they had to kind of respect the fact that don't come in screaming because mom and dad might be on the phone. So they knew what we were doing. We never pushed them to be a part of the business. And the funny thing, I'll tell it and I'll turn it over to Bill. Each of them had gone off and had successful careers, successful starts doing other things. Kate was in Manhattan, and we thought we're never going to get her back from there. We're going to have to figure out how to spend time there. And Bill was in China, and so we were beginning to take Mandarin lessons and figuring he'd never come back. We're going to have to know how to deal with this worldwide thing. Then suddenly, beginning in 2011, they indicated they did have an interest in the business, and we were had that wonderful opportunity of welcoming them into the company. And Bill, why don't you take a whack at that?
I wouldn't consider us to be a family business when Kate and I were kids. I think we were an entrepreneurial enterprise, and the primary focus of my parents was to put food on the table and provide. When we think of family business, I think there's an intentionality to that that really differentiates families from other places, where we're the reason a family business is incorporated is for a long-term vision to provide for the family. And an entrepreneur is doing that, but they're not necessarily thinking someday my kids will inherit the shares of this business and carry this business forward. It certainly wasn't the way we were raised. And if when I was growing up, all I really knew is my dad was a headhunter, and I liked to joke about that on the playground. I didn't really understand what it meant or what he did. I had my own entrepreneurial energy, I guess I'll say, in me, probably inherited from my parents. I did not want to join the family company or be tucked under my dad's wing. So I went off in pursuit of my own journey and my own ventures abroad before I joined the business.
Oh, very good. Yeah, the I know from my father, who was the founder of a business, and so many founders are first generation family business owners. You're right, Bill. It's about putting the food on the table, and I think sometimes the difficulty in transitioning to the next generation is that the founder, it was really more of a job for them, and until much later did they recognize the importance of what they were doing as a family business. So, Bill, you worked in Asia, and your sister worked outside of the business. What recommendations would you have to the next generation to get experience working somewhere else before joining the family business?
Yeah, it's a good question, Greg, and I think the fundamental, like, standard piece of advice that's given by family business advisors is the kids should work outside somewhere first. And I think that's generally speaking good guidance. But pulling back from that, I would look at it this way. I can't learn everything from my dad. I can't learn everything from my mom. And that probably there's certain things that they will teach me, but I am unwilling to learn it simply because of the fact that they are my parents, particularly when I was young. So when we're advising next gens and family businesses to go abroad, we're not necessarily abroad, but away from the family company, it's not necessarily exclusively about resume building. It's about the coaching and mentoring that you get in other places that are away from home. And that's what I think is vital. Not necessarily some strategic training that's going to prepare you for operational leadership in the business, but rounding out you as a human being by getting away from where you were raised for a period of time is what, in my view, is crucially important.
Yeah, very, very important. Well, Jim, just to add on to that just a little bit, as a founder and first generation, I see it often where founders want their children to come back into the family business. So they make a position, create a position that really doesn't fit their children's desires, their capabilities, whatever, which becomes not only dangerous for the next gen, but also for the company itself. What advice would you have to now gens when they're considering next gens coming into the family business?
Sure. I think the biggest thing is to make sure that you know them and what their interests are, and that you don't overestimate what they can do or underestimate it. So early on, you tend to overestimate their ability to step right in. But there is a point at which you begin to underestimate how strong they've gotten. So I think the key is that old saying about square pegs and round holes definitely applies. We didn't know precisely how this would fit together. We knew that Bill and Kate had really very different personalities, but their personalities were still in that process of forming and changing, and their desires were shifting. And we couldn't take any of that as cut in stone when they came in. So my recommendation is always first make sure you know what their interests are. Don't underestimate them at all because they're going to change as soon as they come in the door, and try to be fluid with them. So I know that we could talk about things we did well and things that we didn't, but there are some of both. But it's I think the key thing I feel strongly about is that we gave them room and we let them emerge into them to themselves within the business. I remember telling each of them, and I'll stop at this, that to do this well, you have to put your whole self into it. It has to be what you're doing has to reflect who you are, or it won't seem authentic to other people.
Excellent advice. Excellent advice, Jim. Thank you. Well, Bill, today you're the managing partner at Strandberg Resource Group. But Jim, as the founder, in what ways have you stepped back from the management role of your family business? And the most important part of that question is, was it difficult for you to step into a different role?
That's a great question. We live that every day.
Yeah.
So, we counsel and work with other firms going through succession, and we think we're really good at that. We understand it, we can read it well. But being in the succession process, that constant fluidity of going from one position to another, it's not easy. I find that I find it's a constant challenge, and to be letting go all the time while still giving back all the time. So what I'm valued for isn't what I was valued for 10 years ago. I'm not valued to guide and lead. I'm valued more for what I know and how I can help. So I'm evolving into the kind of servant leader that I always believed I was, but I'm becoming more of that as it goes along. So it has been difficult. And I think, Bill can give his take on this, but I think we always try to give room. But I probably could have moved faster, and that's where I'd leave that.
Sure. Yeah, it's difficult to let go, and that's usually where conflict happens. In family businesses. I know my father, I worked in the family business for 17 years, and my father just couldn't let go, which resulted in my leaving the family business. So I get what you're saying, Jim. It's a difficult and knowing when is just the right time to be able to do that.
You never know. What you worry about most is, are they ready?
Yeah,
And
are they
but that's
ready?
where I used the word early on. I think you always underestimate the generations behind you. You don't think they're as ready as they are, but they really are ready. And there's this old
Yeah.
sense of almost that first man up. It's this, they're ready.
To a
And
certain extent, I'm gonna jump in here.
sure.
Part of my story, this, Greg, is I kind of, pardon the language here, but I kind of kicked Jim out of the driver's seat. And that was, I think that's one of the components of dealing with family business succession internally, is that there is a single person who's driving the business. I didn't like physically kick him out. We didn't get into an altercation,
Sure.
but part of succession process, and with the way my dad said it, and I call him Pop actually. So yeah, it's the family business. We are a family business, the family business podcast. When my pops was considering letting go and wondering, are his kids qualified to take over? Part of that isn't just dad letting go. It's not just Pop letting go. It is me stepping up. And it otherwise, if you're leaving the company kind of rudderless, someone needs to be driving things and someone needs to step up and take it. Looking at changing leadership in a family business when it's going from founding generation to G2 or whatever generation it is, there's a lot of discussion on the importance of the incumbent leader letting go. And in my experience, the way I would tell our story, is there's an equal importance about the next gen stepping up. What you can't really have in any business is a leadership vacuum. And there is, as the two of you were discussing moments ago, a concern that the leadership generation will have about whether or not the next gen's ready for the challenge. And I would posit to you that at a certain point, you got to let the kid ride the bike. And let go of take off the training wheels and all that, to use that metaphor. But on the other side of that, the kid actually needs to pedal the darn thing. And so I kind of came and I said, look, I'm going to start pedaling this bike. And I started making decisions. And that went kind of well to begin with, but there's also kind of a, it was a bit challenging to navigate that at first, but as we move forward as a family, my stepping up made Jim more comfortable stepping down, as where if I hadn't, he would be stuck in the leadership position until, well, who knows when. But that's ultimately my stepping up was about my own desire to drive and my own desire to grow and to be perfectly real about it, to earn more money. We are in a business after all. This business is meant to
That's right.
care for each of the shareholders and employees to make sure they can lead the quality of lives that they want.
Very good. Well, thank you, Jim. Bill, so tell me this. You obviously y'all successfully navigated the journey of family business succession. How has your own experiences influenced the way you advise other family businesses?
Sure.
If you don't mind, Jim, I'll start on this. One of the things that is an interesting experience that going through the transition that Jim and I just described of him stepping back and me stepping in as managing partner is that we got kind of duped by our own experience. And what I mean by that is we've helped lots of families going through leadership transition, either from one family member to the next or from or bringing in outside leadership. So we're very familiar with the processes and the challenges. But what we didn't really quite know is that we couldn't be our own facilitators. We had thought, oh, gee, we already know all of this. Why do we need someone from the outside to help us go through this? We should be able to work through it. And what we learned the hard way, and where our conflict was the strongest, is when we were trying to navigate it ourselves without outside help. The way I would phrase this, Greg, is that in a family business, when you're just of the family, not talking about the industry and providers and employees and anything else, you are just the family members. The family is going to supersede the business. And so what would happen is I'm the youngest, and there's a 4 decades of history of me being the youngest person in this family. And all of that history informs the types of conversations we were having. So when we would sit down at the table to try to figure this stuff out, it isn't just a question of the business. It's a question of Bill and Jim and Kate and Anne as a family. And all of the history is on the table. What a third-party facilitator was able to do was kind of cut out the noise and remind us that what we're doing here is running a business and we are making business decisions. And even though we are that person, that facilitator for other families, that did not mean that we could do it ourselves. And I believe there's like an idiom that goes back to Mark Twain about an attorney should never be their own counsel. To some extent, I think I'm paraphrasing him there. But either way, I believe it's the same was true for us, is that no matter how good we are working with other families, we needed outside perspective to navigate some of our own challenges.
Okay, very good. Right. And yeah, it's hard to take the emotional part of it out, whether you're involved in your family business or you're advising someone. There's always that emotional side of it. It's hard to overcome sometimes. So y'all have been at it for a number of years, and as we have, and markets changed, families, businesses have changed, but how have succession planning changed over the past several years that you've noticed?
Oh, go ahead, Jim.
Yeah, it's interesting that I think that the growth of the advisory world for family businesses has made a big difference. So the knowledge is just much greater than it was even 10 years ago. So the sense that there's help out there that can be gotten by families, they don't have to look far for it. So I think the information about family business succession is much better now than it was even 10 years ago. And I think it will continue to grow as more people recognize how vital this part of the economy is and how much these families struggle with trying to live the business world when they're still a family. So I think it's, again, to summarize that, I think that there's just more information available out there for the person or the family that's interested in getting help. The help is there, and it's a really good marketplace for that right now.
Very good.
I'd add one thing into this that's kind of important to say is like, well, what a dad offers there is certainly true. There's a lot more resources out there. And the other side of things, families, I believe, are more open to looking for outside guidance and outside expertise. There's a commonality in most of the families, in fact, all of the families that we work with, where they're intensely private. The issues that they are facing are not to be shared or discussed. They don't want to be sold things, and they don't want people kind of sniffing at their dirty laundry, so to speak. And most families have challenges at the center of the way they're running their family and their business. And those challenges are normal, but families can be perhaps embarrassed by them until they realize that they're common across all families. And that kind of wakening up that, hey, what we're facing isn't some unique thing that has only happening to us as a family business. In fact, this is happening to, in some shape or form, happening to every family that is in business together. And that the acknowledgement of that fact makes it easier for families to reach out and seek guidance from folks who spend their careers studying the challenges of families. With the sole intent of helping families navigate those challenges.
Very good, very good. Continuing on with that, one of the things changes that we've noticed over the years for family businesses that there's more and more families are starting to look at non-family executives to help run their company in the succession process. What are three most critical factors family business owners should consider when considering non-family executive succession?
Yeah, it's a great question. When you're thinking about non-family executives, the most central thing that we would advise that we look at here, I'll do the first one, Jim, and you can jump in on the next one here, is
Sure.
that how the business decisions are made, and importantly, who makes them. One of the big challenges that families face is that a non-family executive, a non-family CEO, is going to expect a lot of autonomy to spend capital, make financial decisions, and also make decisions about the personnel of the business. This may mean firing employees or hiring new ones. And it's oftentimes the case that families want to hold on to those decisions. They want to know how their money's being spent and authorize the spending of capital. And they want to protect the employees that have been with them for ages. And that's normal and that's okay. But if those types of decisions aren't thought through in advance, what you'll find is that a new executive will come in and make those decisions without checking in with the family and give rise to conflict very early in their employment.
Yeah, that's a true one for sure. We see that so frequently. You know, I would add to that that when we look at this, the family needs to take a hard look at who they are and how they do things and what their culture is, and understand that before they even begin talking with somebody as a non-family member to join, so they can easily express what it is about them that is important to carry forward. That's the first point. And then the second point, that sort of tells you about the type of executive you will find. And the first thing that we always tell people is anybody who joins a family business should have some background with family business, because the cultures that you'll find in family enterprises, and I think you said this earlier, Greg, they're always different and they're always unique. And so if someone goes in and thinks that they can use the building blocks that they learned in some public company to work within a family business, they're going to be very surprised at how difficult that really is. One of the words that I've used when I talk with people about this is, if you're going to join a family business as an outside executive, remember that you need to be able to forgive the family for who they actually are, because you're not going to change them. So you need to do that. And that gets back to that servant leadership concept.
For the final point on things to think about when bringing in non-family executives, would really advise any family that's thinking about bringing a person in is to understand the roles, hopes, and aspirations of the family members themselves. This is particularly true of the incumbent, the family leader who is retiring. It's not good enough for the family just to have that person retire and hire someone. What are they going to do with their time? Where are they going to go? Are they becoming the chairman of the board? That's a role. That means something. If they think they're just going to go off and golf, I'll tell you what, Greg, golf isn't meaningful enough. They will turn back to the business and they will undermine the person they've hired. Everyone in the company will know who the family owner of the business is, and their new hire will have been around for a couple of months. Another version of this is oftentimes family principals, the now gen, the leadership of the company, will make decisions without getting full input from the next gens, or perhaps full input from their spouses. Everyone in a family business system that's not the family, so all of the employees, all of the vendors, the service providers, the business partners, know who the family members are. Family business employees live in a glass house. But you'll find out that sometimes there are hopes and aspirations that are not voiced, because children can have a difficulty talking to their parents. A mother can hope that her daughter will one day be CEO. That daughter might not want that job. And if we go out and hire someone for a family company, and that mother's hope is still there left unaddressed, you have stakeholders in the family that are not aligned with that decision. Inversely, you might have that daughter who actually does want to step up and be considered for that, but she, for some reason, is keeping quiet because of the nature of the way that she communicates with her family. If you go off and hire a non-family person in that context, and your family member who has an important voice has not been heard, you're inserting risk into the process, and that will manifest once things get stressful. And it can really damage the family and the process, and critically here, the person that you sought to work with by bringing them into your company. To kind of round that out, what's really important here is that when families are thinking about executive transition, that they take the time to communicate clearly with one another and ensure that each person has a voice, and that voice is heard and considered as they are making the decision.
Great. Thank you, Bill and Jim, on that. More often than not, you rarely have a non-family executive come into a company after the founder. But many times, by the time you get that third or fourth generation, you start seeing that, and so you really have to explain it. And also, there may be things from a standpoint of stock ownership or whatever that you may need to put involved in that hiring process as well. So you talked about it, Jim, just a little while ago, but we say there's no business like family business. In your experience, what makes family businesses unique from non-family businesses?
Yeah, The first one we always talk about, and it's the basic one, it's a family. And that means that the culture and everything about the company is going to be defined by what that family saw as the correct and right way to do things. Bill, you want to take the next one?
The long-term strategic vision of a family business. Most companies that you're going to be talking to in the market today are really focused on short-term value. They're looking at how are we going to make a dollar this quarter? How are we going to make our green line go up to keep our shareholders happy? Particularly if you're a public company, if you're a PE company, you're thinking about getting on a rocket ship so that you can flip this business and catch your windfall. Family companies are thinking in a much longer time frame. And that is the single most difficult thing for non-family people to understand when they come in.
Yeah, I agree with that. See it so often. Well, we could talk on for hours on this subject. I'm thoroughly enjoying our time together. But before we leave, where can our listeners learn more about Strindberg Resource Group?
We have a website, strandberg.com. We're also very active on social media, so you get, particularly on LinkedIn. We regularly participate in podcasts like this. We also have our own videos that we publish on Google, or rather, so not on Google, on YouTube. And we publish regular newsletter. Also, simply put, you can just reach out and call us. We like chatting with families and answering the questions they have.
Now, there's still nothing like just a phone call. Before we end, what are some final thoughts you'd like to share with our listeners today?
You know, if I was going to say one thing that that is so important to me, and I said it earlier, is family business is a place where if you're thriving with it, you can put your whole self into it. And I think it's the one thing that I'll always be grateful for is the fact that I've been able to be myself in this business. And I think that's the greatest reward there is being able to do something you love and that you're appreciated for and that you can make money doing.
I love that. Yeah. It's something you love to do and can make money doing it. Bill?
Yeah. When looking at leadership transition, folks, make sure you take your time. Have a lot of good conversations and repeat those conversations to make sure that the necessary communication is happening before you make big decisions.
Take time. I know we always say it takes 3 to 5 years to have a successful transition, but don't start the day that you come in the office and say, I'm done. I want out of here, because it takes time to be able to make the a successful transition.
That's right.
Well, Bill, Jim, we wish you and your business continued success as you serve family business in the marketplace. I've really enjoyed getting to know you and glad to hear about all that y'all are doing to serve our family business community. To learn more about Strandberg Resource Group, visit their website at www.strandberg.com. To our listeners, thank you for joining us for this Family Business Today podcast edition, brought to you by the Tennessee Center for Family Business, located in Nashville, Tennessee. Our passion is to help families create a positive environment where the family thrives, the business performs, and working together, they can create a lasting family legacy. Whether you're a business owner looking to grow your family business, or you are wanting to prepare to someday sell or transition the business to the next generation, check out our free resources on our website at www.tncfb.com. If you want to talk to a family business advisor about your specific family business needs, schedule a 30-minute, no-cost call by sending us email to info@tncfb.com. If you want to talk, we will listen. So until next time, thanks for joining us.